Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. I think it's the first time in a while I've been able to say, I hope you're enjoying the rain on your way in. We really need the rain, but just walking over here, the rain is kind of cold this morning. It's very refreshing, can I say. But I hope you're ready to worship this morning, even as it's raining outside. The Lord is nourishing His earth for us. And today, as we come to worship, He's going to nourish us through His Spirit for Him. So, welcome this morning. Just a few announcements before we get started. The Amazing Grace food pantry, we dropped off, Harry and I dropped off all that food that you collected on Tuesday, and man, they were just so thankful for all of that food, and they were very excited to see people coming later on that day, and they had been shopping on Monday, so their food pantry was stocked pretty well. They had lots of fresh fruit, but they just wanted us to remind you that they are open every Tuesday. If you want to drop food off anytime between, they're usually there by 3, but definitely between 3:30 and 4, you could drop food off there, and then they open up to the public at 4. So just because we're not collecting right now doesn't mean you can't run food down there. They'd be very appreciative of anything they get. So they were very happy to get what we brought them. The local missions offering, I hope you just read our little blurb here in this in the bulletin about our local mission offering to give you an idea of what we do with that. So again, sometime after service, we'll leave the local mission offering up here. You can come in and contribute to that, and we'll have the offering plate in the back for the regular offering. But take some time to read that. It is really an opportunity for us to serve the community locally with that mission offering. Guess what happens next week? Daylight savings time ends. That's right, we lose an hour of sleep next week. So either get to bed early or just plan on being tired on Sunday. But you might want to set your clocks back. Otherwise, if you come for Sunday school, you'll be here for church. If you come for church, we'll be leaving the building as you show up. So I don't know if that's ever happened to you. I can't remember actually showing up late. I do remember showing up early in the spring one time. I forgot to set my clocks ahead, so I lost my hour of sleep both times that year. Showed up early for church. Again, we added Mark Gibson's address here. They buried Mark and Michaela and Matthew buried Terry Gibson this past week. So as they continue to mourn and grieve, maybe you could just drop a card in the mail offering them your condolences and your sincere Christian love for them. It's good for us to bear that burden with them and help carry them along through this. We continue to put Cindy Walker's address in there and Martha Bradfield's too, so you can send cards there. All right, so on our prayer thing, we do have some updates. Greg Kenny does have some health concerns going on, and he's had some testing and got some stuff going on. They put him on some medication. He's going to be doing some more testing. Currently, he's not supposed to be driving, and so he's doing a lot of his counseling from home. And in the meantime, his balance has been a little off. And so he did fall this past week as he was trying to do some work in the yard and hurt his back. So he's on meds right now for some of this other balance stuff and stuff that's going on. But he's also going to be going to a doctor's appointment this week to try to find out what happened to his back, if anything serious. Harold Schweitzer has been working on some back issues also. It sounds like the doctors are having some progress, even though it was minor, so he's going to continue to move forward on that. And Dwayne just let me know that this Wednesday, he's going in for a heart catheterization, so we'll lift up Dwayne this Wednesday as he goes in for that. He says he may have to spend one night in the hospital, so if you call him on Thursday, he might not be there yet, if you call him at home. But so let's lift up Dwayne as he goes in for this procedure on Wednesday, though. The doctors will be able to fix all that's wrong. That's all I have for announcements, except for the newsletter. It's going to be next week is November 1st, so we're going to put the newsletter out next week. If you have anything that needs to get in the newsletter, please see Alan or Ginger this week and just get that to them, and we'll have the newsletter for you next week. I will be out of town most of this week, leaving Tuesday morning, coming back late Saturday. I will be on and off my phone, so if you need me, just call, leave a message, whatever, and as soon as I get cell phone service, I'll try to get you a call back. But there will be spots where I won't have cell phone service, so anyhow. Don't be afraid to call Greg if something serious comes up. Is there any other announcements?
I just want to tell you that Linda Anderson is home.
Okay, so Lyndall Anderson, you'll see him on the second line of the medical prayer request here. So he's home, but still has to await his gallbladder surgery. But he is home and out of rehab, so that's good news. So a praise and a prayer request that remains there. Well, this morning I'd like you to stand with me. We're going to have a responsive call to worship. So if you would grab your hymnals, turn in the back to number 566. We will call one another to worship using 566. I'll read the non-bold parts, and then you can respond with the bold parts. Let's stand together. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
I will praise thee with my whole heart.
I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth.
Yea, they shall sing the praise of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord.
Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. I hope you are glad this morning as you come into the house of the Lord to worship the Lord God Almighty, who is high and lifted up and reigns over all. Let's pray. Lord, as we come into your presence, into the very throne room of heaven, along with saints from all over this globe, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would accept our worship here in Highview as acceptable through the blood of Christ, through the glad hearts that we bring, and through the mouths that long to lift up in your name and praise you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, take your hymnals and turn to hymn number 444 as, again, we continue to come into the presence of the Lord proclaiming that Jesus shall reign. 444.
Thank you.
be seated. I'm going to ask Phil Heisler to come up here and read our Old Testament passage from the book of Isaiah. You know, we see that Jesus will reign. We just sang of this idea that Jesus will reign. We're going to talk later about the idea that the gospel is sufficient through the work of Jesus Christ. And here we see in Isaiah the promise that even death itself will be swallowed up in victory.
Good morning. As the pastor said, the reading this morning is from the 25th chapter of Isaiah. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. For you have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The foreigner's palace is a city no more. They will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you, for you have been a stronghold to the poor, a stronghold to the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm and a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a storm against a wall, like heat in a dry place. You subdue the noise of the foreigners as heat by the shade of a cloud. So the song of the ruthless is put down. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain. And Moab shall be trampled down in his place, as straw is trampled down in dunghill. And he will spread out his hands in the midst of it, as a swimmer spreads his hands out to swim. But the Lord will lay low his pompous pride, together with the skill of his hands, and the high fortifications of his walls he will bring down, lay low, and cast to the ground, to the dust.
Thank you, Phil. What a great reminder that the gospel is sufficient, right? The gospel is sufficient, as we see here, sufficient even to swallow up death itself, to put every enemy underneath of Christ. We'll talk about that later on. The gospel is sufficient. But what a great promise here, especially as we think about the trials of life. As we think about the trouble of life, as we think about those who have lost loved ones, what a great reminder that death will be swallowed up in life and in the resurrection one day. Well, wouldn't it be great to know more about Jesus? More and more should we be learning about Jesus. Let's stand and sing that as a prayer, hymn number 333. More about Jesus would we know.
Thank you.
be seated. As we go to the Lord in prayer, just remember to pray for Greg and Dwayne. And for all that's going on in our world as we seek a peace in our world and a unity in our world that surpasses the knowledge of man. Let's go to the Lord, knowing that the Lord is even now waiting to hear our prayer, longing to hear us pray to Him, ready to respond in His perfect way, and longing to show us the strength of His arm. Let's pray. Lord, we come into Your presence knowing that You have a strong arm, and that when You bear Your arm, no one can thwart what You would have take place. And so, Lord, we come before You, praising You for Your glory and strength and honor, for Your truth and justice and mercy and love. And we come into Your presence, Lord, knowing that You long for us to be here. We come with joyful hearts, expectant hearts. Lord, we come not only knowing that You will hear, but that You will respond. So give us hearts that are ready to listen to Your response. Give us eyes to see Your response. Give us understanding to know that it is You, the God over all, that is responding to our prayers. Help us to look for answers. Help us to rejoice when those answers come. Help us to accept those answers, Lord, because we know that sometimes Your answer is yes, sometimes Your answer is no, sometimes Your answer is wait. And so prepare us, Lord, for those answers as we come into Your presence and lay these requests before You. And Lord, we do lift up Dwayne to You as he goes in for a catheterization on Wednesday. We pray that You would just give him a calm spirit, knowing that his life is in Your hands. We pray that the doctors would have wisdom and skill and show great care in taking care of Dwayne. Help them to know exactly what to do. Help this procedure to be effective for what they're hoping to accomplish. And Lord, we would pray that he wouldn't need to spend a night in the hospital. That everything would go so well that he'd be able to come home. But if he has to spend the night, Lord, then we pray that it would just be that one night and that he would get good care and be able to return home and return to health quickly. We lift up Dawn as she cares for him. We pray again that she would just have a calm spirit about her as she puts her trust fully in You and awaits the outcome of this surgery. Lord, we lift up Greg as he's dealing with some health concerns that the doctors are trying to track down. We praise You that the tests have given him some results, and we ask, Lord, that the medicine would be effective and that more testing would help to clear things up. We do pray that his brain, this wonderful brain that You have created, Lord, would pick up the slack where part of his brain is not working right. And we just pray for new neurological pathways to form and to make a huge difference, that he'd be able to regain his balance and be able to drive again and just move forward through the work of this medicine and just the amazing ability the brain has to recover from certain injuries. Lord, we thank You for Greg, and we pray him and Gene would both again just continue to put their trust in You. And when they speak of this situation to others, we pray that they would speak of the fact that they know You are working everything good for their benefit and Your glory. Lord, we think of our country as the election approaches, and we pray for unity. There's much disunity, Lord, and we know that the only way unity will come is through the work of Your Spirit. And so we do pray that You would send Your Spirit and send Your Spirit for revival. Lord, we know in history too that often revival comes after some strife, and Lord, we've had some strife this year. And so we pray, Lord, that You would be plowing the fields and the hearts of men and women for revival. So that when revival would come, Lord, that the seeds would be planted and take root and have those roots grow deeply. And so, Lord, we do ask for a revival because we know only that will bring unity. In the meantime, we pray for those that will be at the polls. We pray for those poll workers that are coming out. Keep them safe. Keep them safe from harm. Keep them safe from disease. Keep them safe just from any kind of thought of wrongdoing. Lord, we pray that everybody would be working to keep everything transparent as possible and on the up and up, as we say, Lord. And we pray and that nobody would seek to come in and to cause trouble. At the same time, Lord, we lift up all of those that are serving us, whether it's the hospital workers and nurses, doctors, and nurses' aides, whether it's the social workers that are out there on the front lines of households that are troubled, whether it's the hospice workers or the first responders, Lord. So many people are willing to care for us. We pray that you would protect them, especially as they go into situations that are wrought with difficulty, whether it's home situations or hospital situations or disaster situations. Lord, we know that all of that is filled with difficulty and danger, and so we ask you to protect and to carry along and to keep people safe as they seek to keep others around them safe. Lord, we thank you so much for the rain. We needed this rain, and so we thank you for it. We pray, Lord, that you would nourish your earth with it. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God that is set before us so freely here in America. Lord, it's so easy to get a Bible. What a wonderful thing that we don't have to hide it, and that we can preach it on the street corner if we want, Lord. We thank you for that privilege. We thank you for your Word. We thank you for Jesus and the blood that saves us. May our worship be acceptable to you this morning, Lord, because of his blood. We ask this all in his precious name. Amen. Now I'd ask you to join me in reciting the Lord's Prayer, a reminder that we are united with the disciples and all that has gone before us that have prayed this prayer. Let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, I'm going to ask Ruby to play some music for us. Again, we're not passing the offering plate around just yet. I'll put it in the foyer on the way out. You can put your offering in there. But I would just encourage you to take a moment to meditate upon how much God has given you this past week, how much God has provided for you throughout, you know, your whole entire life, all the things he's done for you. And so as we go into this a couple of minutes of thinking about what the Lord has done for us, just praise him in your heart for the fact that he's a great provider. Let's stand together and praise the Lord for his provision, singing the doxology as a reminder to us and a proclamation to the Lord of how gracious he is. Let's stand.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here.
Lord, we thank you so much for being a God who cares, a God who sees, a God who pays attention, a God who pours out the very storehouses of heaven upon his people because you're so gracious. Lord, we thank you for that. Accept our offering as a heartfelt recognition, Lord, of how much you give us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to grab your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Again, Hebrews is one of those books of the Bible that's difficult to find, I think. It's more towards the back than you might think. Hebrews, James. If you grab your pew Bible, it's page 1190, Hebrews chapter 5. Have you ever been driving down the road in unfamiliar territory, right, when your low fuel light comes on? Right? You're not sure where the next gas station is, and you actually have to wonder, gee, I wonder how much gas I really have left. How far can I actually go? Right? You're wondering, aren't you, whether your gas supply will be sufficient. Right? Will my gas supply be sufficient to get me to the next gas station? That's kind of where we are this morning in our discussion about what is the gospel. Right? We've looked at the gospel is necessary. We've looked at the result of the gospel. We've looked at the cost of the gospel, the fact that the gospel is free. And we're here this morning now to understand that the gospel is also sufficient. Right? The supply offered in the gospel is sufficient. Now, that idea that the gospel is able to do all that it says it is, right? That's really what we're trying to discuss this morning. The gospel is able to do all that it says it can do. So let's pray that the Lord would open our hearts to that idea, that Christ is all sufficient. You know, it's I find myself wondering whether the gas supply that the Lord gives me is enough. But what we're going to find in Hebrews 5 is that it is sufficient. Let's pray. Lord, we want to know in a real way that Christ is sufficient. We want to know it from your scriptures. We want to know it in our lives. We want to be able to experience it and feel it and proclaim it. And so teach us this morning that it's sufficient for us to be made right with you. Teach us that it's sufficient to bring us into the very kingdom of heaven. Lord, teach us that it's sufficient to completely save us from ourselves and from your wrath. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Booth Tucker, I don't know if you know that name. He's associated with the Salvation Army. He's a well-known preacher from the past. And he was preaching in Chicago one day. I think at the time that's where the Salvation Army headquarters might have been. And out of the throng, one burdened man came up to him in the middle of his preaching before the whole audience and said this: "Booth Tucker, you can talk like that about how Christ is dear to you and helps you, but if your wife was dead, as my wife is, and you had some babies crying for their mother who would never come back, you would not say what you're saying." Imagine that just for a second, right? It's one thing, isn't it, to talk about the sufficiency of Scripture, right? It's one thing to talk about the sufficiency of Jesus and all that he's done. But when suffering comes in, right, when things are difficult, when trials come, when you don't know what the future holds, then it's a little harder to understand or really believe, I think, sometimes, that Jesus is sufficient for all you need. That's the problem of Christmas time, I think, too. You know, you're talking to your friends about Jesus and the fact that the gospel is free and how wonderful it is. They might come to you with a question like this, right? A question like this man comes to Booth Tucker with. So when you speak about the gospel, right, here's my proposition this morning: when you speak about the gospel this Christmas with people, tell them that Jesus offered up prayers to his heavenly Father. Right? There's something important, the fact that Jesus offered up prayers to his heavenly Father, and you'll see in your bulletin there, and his Father heard him. Right? We'll see what that means. And then we're going to look at the fact that when you talk to people about the gospel, remind them, you know, Jesus suffered too. Right? Jesus suffered for believers. Even Jesus suffered. And when you talk about the gospel, finish by telling them that he is the all-sufficient source of eternal salvation. Right? That when Jesus suffered, his suffering was something that made a way for us to get into heaven. Well, let's read our passage. We're just going to read chapter 5. We're just going to read verses 7 through 10. Hebrews 5, verses 7 through 10, it says, "In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek." So when you speak about the gospel this Christmas to people, and if they're bringing up questions like, why is there suffering? Well, you can talk about Jesus and say, you know, Jesus suffered. And when he was suffering, he offered up prayers to his heavenly Father. Right? Now, realize Jesus didn't come as a child and then live a life of ease. Right? Jesus didn't come as a baby and then live a life of ease. He didn't live a life without problems. He didn't live a life without suffering. Right? And he wasn't cavalier about it either. Right? Even though he suffered, he wasn't cavalier about his suffering. Jesus is kind of towing the line in the middle. Yes, I suffered. And yes, suffering wasn't pleasant either. Right? The example he gave us wasn't one that tried to convince us that suffering is easy. Right? Facing arrest and trial and crucifixion, what did he do at the Garden of Gethsemane? He cried out, it says here, with loud cries and tears to his heavenly Father. Now, if you want to turn, you can turn there to Matthew chapter 26. We see that account in Matthew 26. As Matthew is approaching the end of his gospel and talking about the upcoming crucifixion. In Matthew 26, verse 39, Jesus has his disciples there. He's asking them to pray with him as he's praying to his heavenly Father. Of course, what did the disciples do? Fell asleep. How many times? Twice, right? Both times they fell asleep when he asked them to pray with him. But here's what Jesus says. Going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, verse 39, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Let's just drop down to verse 42. "Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, 'My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done.'" Right? Jesus lived through real suffering. Right? Hard suffering. And the example he left you was that when things get hard, you too can go to your heavenly Father. Right? You too can go to your heavenly Father. He will hear you. There was a medical missionary captured by bandits in China one year. And he was informed that he was to be shot at a spot in just 10 minutes. They're going to march him over 10 minutes away from where they were, and they were going to kill him. And he tells how this terrible fear of helplessness came over him, just at the thought of dying so far from home, away from family and friends. The only strength he had left was the strength to pray, right? The strength to pray to his Heavenly Father, to cry out to him. And so he prayed, "My Lord God, have mercy on me and give me strength for this trial. Take away all my fear. And if I have to die, then let me die like a man." That was his prayer. Of course, we know it's his prayer because he tells us, so you can guess what happens next. He testifies later on, right? He testifies that instantly his terrible fear began to disappear. And by the time he had reached the gorge where he was to be shot and dumped over the precipice, he was perfectly calm and felt completely unafraid. At the last moment, of course, the bandits relented and they spared his life. In the days which followed, he writes, right, which were still full of danger and suffering, the memory of that experience, right, was cherished more and more. Right? This memory of being on the verge of death and praying to his heavenly Father and having this great calm come over him. And he said it was a memory that he could depend on, right, for those days, knowing that there was a power greater than his at work for him. And he actually says, he closes his thing saying, what ingratitude it would be for me not to proclaim this power, right, that he knows of God. First, do you know that kind of suffering? Maybe you've faced death yourself. Maybe you haven't. But we have all known the uncertainty of that kind of a future, right? The uncertainty of future, the uncertainty of tomorrow or next week or next year. We know that uncertainty, and oftentimes it brings fear into our life. In those moments, do you also know the kind of power that that man found? Do you know that kind of power where you can go to your heavenly Father and have this real sense, experiential sense of peace and calm and trust? Do you know that kind of love? A heavenly Father that would love you even in the midst of the possibility of death. You see, love and suffering are not incompatible. See, when people ask you about